Let's begin with a word of prayer. Eternal Father in heaven, Yahweh Almighty, we come into your presence once again to praise and worship you. We are so grateful to be here, Father, with others of like precious faith. And we ask that you, Father, would instruct us out of your word. Speak to our hearts and our minds. Father, help us to understand, to internalize, and to apply your words to our lives. Father, we have much to learn. As much as we may think we know, there is still a lot much to be understood, and our entire lives will be a learning process. We pray, Yahweh, that we would remain humble so that we can learn these very important lessons, and that we can become that people that you want us to be. So, Father, we pray that this message would be inspiring to us, and that it would help us, Father, to practice your will just a little better. We thank you for all things, and we ask you, Father, to take charge through Yahshua, our Messiah and Savior. Hallelujah. Let's take our seats. Brethren, what motivated this message today is a very simple conversation that I had with someone this week. And I was amazed that this person was not in defeat, and yet it felt as if I was speaking to someone in defeat because of what the person was saying. And it reminded me of the situation where, you know, the Canaanitish woman came to Yahshua to heal her son, I believe it is. And Yahshua said, you know, well, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And, you know, she said, well, he said, it is not fit to take what is the master's and give it to the dogs. She said, well, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And he was impressed by what she said, and he said, you know, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. And he granted her request. And so this week I was speaking to this individual, and, you know, the person was saying, well, look how people have strayed. People today don't even want to acknowledge the existence of a creator. He was saying, you know, putting aside whatever your religion is and whatever, you must acknowledge, at least on a basic level, that there is a creator. Right? When you look and you observe at things around, he said, even if you look at yourself, you should be able to tell that there is a greater power directing everything. And so, you know, the conversation went a little deeper, and we went back to the Garden of Eden, and we were speaking about how the serpent deceived Eve. And what impressed me about this individual was that the person said to me, you know, that the Creator said to them, the day that you eat of it, you shall die. He say, he didn't mean that they was going to die on the spot, but he meant that the process of death would begin. They would begin to die, deteriorate. And, you know, we spoke about some other things, and I was looking at the individual, and I was saying to myself, but this is not somebody in defeat. And hear how they're speaking. Why can't, you know, sometimes we can't get that type of, you know, understanding and that type of conversation from those in the faith? What is wrong? Brethren, the message today is titled, Be a Positive Influence. Be a positive influence. Be a positive influence. We have not been called into this faith by chance, brethren. It was through the will of Yahweh. We were handpicked. We were handpicked. And therefore, brethren, we must understand our purpose and seek to fulfill it. We must realize that having knowledge alone is not enough. We could have a lot of knowledge. Okay? We could have a lot of knowledge. We could memorize the entire Bible and be able to repeat it off the top of our heads. Does that make us great? Does that make us righteous? What are we doing with the knowledge that we have received? In the book of 1 Corinthians, let's turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. First Corinthians 8, verses 1 to 3. The Apostle Paul is trying to give some instruction. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1 to 3. He says, Now, concerning food offered to idols. Now, we're not going to get into that today. That is a topic by itself. A topic of great debate. Now, concerning food offered to idols, we know we all have knowledge. We know we all have knowledge. Okay? Yes. We all have knowledge. Knowledge of one sort or the other. There are people with doctorates, master's degrees. And we don't want to underplay what that means, right? A person does not get a doctorate by snapping the fingers. It requires a lot of study, a lot of diligence, a lot of application over a certain period of time. And so if a person acquires a master's degree or a doctorate, PhD, that person should be respected. But Paul is saying we all have knowledge. But he says knowledge puffs up. It swells us up. It makes a person become arrogant. You know, they get big. But love builds up. Love edifies. If anyone thinks he knows something, he does not yet know it as he should know it. But if anyone loves Elohim, this one is known by him. So we may think that we are experts on something, and as time goes by, we realize, wait, we didn't really know as much as we thought we knew enough, because somebody had to come along and shed some light on a subject. And we realized that there was more to it than what we knew. We thought we knew everything, and then we realized, no, it was not so. It is like in the book of Job, when, you know, Job was going back and forth with his three friends. And they were talking back and forth. And in the end, Yahweh had enough with the conversation. And he intervened. And he said, where were you when I did so and so and so? Where were you? Where were you? Were you there when I did so and so and so and so? And in the end, Job had to remain silent. And all he could say was, well, I thought I knew you. I just, what I know of you is what I've heard. I don't really know you. So, there's a lot more to be learnt, and this is why we must always remain humble. The knowledge that we have been given, brethren, is not for us. We have been given that knowledge for a reason. We have been given that knowledge so that we now could take that knowledge and influence others. Because the truth is, each one of us has been influenced by someone. This is why we are here. We heard the message. Somebody preached something. We heard. We believed. And now we are here. But it doesn't stop with us. There are others who need to hear, just like we have heard. And so what are we going to do with the knowledge? Are we going to take it and say, well, yes, I know all this. But what are we taking? What are we doing with it? It reminds us of what when Yahshua spoke about the talents. You know, he gave to the men the talents. And they took the talents and they went and they made other talents. But this one man, he took the one talent and he buried it. What are we doing with what we have, what we have been given? Are we sharing it with others? Are we using the knowledge that we have to touch someone in a positive way? We may not necessarily convert them to the faith, but through words or through actions, we could have a positive impact on somebody in some way. And brethren, we don't need to climb a mountain to achieve that. Sometimes the simplest things, the simplest acts of love, and the simplest word, a word spoken, a word in due season, could touch somebody in a way we would never imagine. It could change somebody's life. But we have to always remain in the right frame of mind for us to understand that. We have to be in the right frame of mind. The truth is, brethren, we need to be motivated by love. If love is not the motivation behind what we do, then we could do things the wrong way. And this is why Yahshua and the apostles, and they were so effective, because they were motivated by love. Sometimes the approach we take is to talk down to people. We don't necessarily talk to them, but we talk down to them. Right? And this cannot be the way that we will achieve any good success. So, brethren, are we, through the knowledge and the wisdom that we have, knowledge, not necessarily wisdom. Knowledge is just having basic information. Wisdom is putting that knowledge now into application. And that is where we have to be. Not just knowing something, but knowing how to apply it. That is something different. Yahshua spoke about us being lights of the world. Matthew 5, let's turn there. Matthew 5, verse 14. He said that we are to be the lights of the world. Matthew 5 and verse 14. He says, you are the light of the world. A city cannot be hid when located on a mountain. And I remember a few years ago when we went to Kenya, and we went and we visited some of the brethren who were living on the mountains. Brethren in Berea. And where we were staying was on a plateau, like a flat area on the mountain. And in front of us was an even higher mountain. Right? If we think we know mountains here, we don't know mountains. Mm-hmm. Over there have mountains, like I've never seen. And in the night time, when you look up in the mountain, you would see lights flashing. And so we knew that there were people living up there. Way, way up there. So every time I read this, I remember that, you know. He said, a city cannot be hid when located on a mountain. It is high up for all to see. People light a lamp and set it not under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it shines on all those in the house. Okay? So what is the purpose of lighting the lamp? To give light. So if you put it under the basket, you won't get any light. Likewise, he says, let your light shine before men, so that they may see your fine works or your good works and give glory to your Father who is in the heavens. Notice Yahshua didn't necessarily say to convert them. Yeah. He didn't necessarily say convert them. He says, but be a witness to them. You must be visible. Let them see you. Now, he didn't say to do it for show. Don't do it just to be seen like the Pharisees. But what you are doing should become clear to everybody. We have to be out there. Does that mean that we have to go around preaching and telling everybody, every individual we see, repent for the kingdom is at hand, repent for the kingdom? Not necessarily, although that is a part of it as well. But Yahshua is saying, by your life, the life that you live is the greatest witness you could ever give. Right? Not necessarily talking about the scriptures, but through the things that we do, the things that we say, how we interact with people, they will see us for who we are. And it will turn out to the honor and glory of Almighty Yahweh. Provided we are doing the right things. Right? Because if we are doing the wrong things, then it would reflect negatively. It would be a reproach to Yahweh. And we don't want to do that. So, how do people see us, brethren? Do we ever think about that? How do people around us see us? How does our family see us? How does our co-workers see us? Our acquaintances? How do people in general see us? Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2. Believe it or not, brethren, people are looking at us. Believe it or not, people are looking at us. Remember when they had taken Yahshua on the night of the Passover and the disciples fled? When the trial was going on, Peter was there and they came up to Peter. Are not you the Galilean that we saw? Are not you? I saw you. He was surprised. People saw him. They took note of him. He thought he could just go there quietly and hide himself in the crowd. He didn't realize that people took note of him, that he was one who was with Yahshua all the time. So make no mistake, brethren. People are looking at us. We have to be mindful of that. 1 Peter 2 and verse 11. 1 Peter 2 verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as foreigners and temporary residents, strangers, sojourners, we could say, to keep abstaining from fleshly desires which war against you. Maintain your conduct among the nations, so that when they accuse you of being wrongdoers, and I am sure we could identify with that. People always have things to say about us. He this, she that. Right? They always have something negative to say. But look at what Peter is saying. Peter is saying, check your conduct. Maintain your conduct among the peoples, so that when they accuse you of being wrongdoers, they may be eyewitnesses of your good works, and as a result, glorify Yahweh in the day of his inspection. Isn't that the same thing that Yahshua is saying? Let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Same thing he's saying. Same thing. He goes further and he says, for Yahweh's sake, subject yourselves to every human, to every man, whether to a king as being superior, or to governors as sent by him to punish wrongdoers, but to praise those who do good. For it is the will of Yahweh that by doing good, you may silence the ignorant talk of unreasonable men. There are some people, brethren, regardless of what we do, they will dislike us. That is our fact of life. It is the spirit that is in men. Regardless of what we do, we could be the most behaved, well-behaved, we carry about ourselves well, and somebody will see us and they will dislike us. But even though they dislike us, they really have nothing to accuse us of. Because of how we carry about ourselves. That's what Peter is saying. Although they may not like us, and they will want to find fault, don't give them a reason to accuse. Right? Let our conduct be above reproach. That is not an easy thing to achieve. But yet, that is what is required of us. You shall be perfect, the scripture says. But again, I want to repeat what I said before. If the things that we are doing is not motivated by love for our fellow men, then we may do it the wrong way. Right? So for instance, we're trying to get across the message of salvation to someone that we know. But how do we go about doing that? Right? Witnessing 101. How do we go about doing that? So we know someone, for instance, who may be, Hindu. We'll use that for example. Listen now. There's an idol at our way. They're worshipping idols. Okay, yes. We know that. But you think that is a starting point? You think that is where you should start? If you want to get through to the person? If that is the point you start with, chances are you won't get through. Because you offend them right there. You see? You offend them right away. So we have to use wisdom. Right? It could be a simple conversation. Right? Like going back to the beginning. Right? Like the guy I was speaking about. I didn't start the conversation. He started the conversation. And I was glad he started the conversation. And so I just add something to it. And the conversation got more and more interesting as we went along. Right? And while he was talking, I was looking at him. I said, but this guy not in the faith. But he talking like he in the faith. And we had a very constructive conversation. And at the end of the conversation, he wasn't converted to the faith. He didn't say that he wanted to be immersed into Yahshua's name. But I know that it would have left him with some positive thoughts in his mind. And the next time I see him, we will talk again. And then the next time we'll talk again. And he will recognize me in a certain manner. And it may very well impact him later down the road. I don't know. That is the will of Yahweh. But we are just to sow a seed. We are just to have an influence, an impact on people. Not to force people per se. Alright? As we were singing in the song there before the message, not with swords loud clashing or roll of stirring drums. So we're not going to force put our sword to people's neck and say convert or die, you infidel. We know about that, right?
Yes.
Right. Are we not going to wage war on people with deeds of love and mercy? The heavenly kingdom comes. Look at what it says. Peace. Peace I proclaim to you. That is what Yahshua brought. He brought salvation, but not in an aggressive way. He brought the message of salvation with peace and with love. And this is what we also have to do, brethren. So we are to be a positive influence in the lives of those around us. Many times, brethren, we do not display the patience and the mercy that Yahweh displays. I repeat that. Many times we do not display the patience and the mercy that Yahweh displays. We are very quick to judge. We are very quick to condemn. We are very quick to criticize. We are very quick to put down. And if Yahweh would have dealt with us in the same manner for all the evil things that we have done, then where would we be? Think about it. Where would we be? Would we be able to stand? We'll be dead already. Because we have done things to offend Yahweh many times over. And yet He has been very patient with us, giving us opportunity to make the changes. So then why are we not patient and merciful towards our fellow men in the same way? Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3 and verse 8 and 9. 2 Peter 3 verses 8 and 9. It says, however, do not let this escape your notice, beloved ones, that one day is with Yahweh as 1,000 years. So one day is not 1,000 years. It is like 1,000 years from His eternal viewpoint. Yahweh is not slow concerning His promise, as some people consider slowness, but He is patient. There's that word, patient. Right? And if we think about it, you go to the hospital and the person who is there lying on the bed who is sick, they call them a patient. And I wonder, well, why they call them that? Why they call them a patient? It's because you need patience in dealing with them. As a sick person, you're trying to bring them back, recover them to health. How are you going to do that? Huh? You have to be patient with them. The healing process takes time. Right? And so it's the same thing spiritually. We are going from sin to righteousness. You think that process is going to happen overnight? No. It is going to take time. And so you need patience. Right? So he says, Yahweh is not slow concerning his promise, as some people consider slowness, but he is patient with you, because he does not desire anyone to be destroyed, but desires all to attain to repentance. All. All. That is Yahweh's desire. Sadly, the reality is that is not going to be so. But the point is, brethren, that is within Yahweh's domain for him to deal with that. We have been called not to judge, but to play our part, to fulfill our role as believers. And that is to try and touch and influence the lives of people as much as we can. Point people in the direction of truth, point them, and try to motivate them in doing what is right, what is good. Right? And beyond that, we can't do anything. Yahweh has to deal with the rest. So, brethren, we must always remember this as we interact with our fellow men. Yahweh wishes for all to come to repentance. And if Yahweh desires that, then why are we judging? Then why are we so quick to condemn and to judge? Brethren, as small of a group as we are, we can have a great impact, believe it or not. However, we cannot have any, you know, selfish ambitions. We must all recognize that we have a common duty. There cannot be any in-house fighting. And there's a lot of that going around in the body of Messiah today. And these things are hindering the work of Yahweh. Right? They are holding back the progress. When we read in the book of Acts, after Yahshua had ascended and the Spirit of Yahweh was given, we see that the believers and the apostles then had all things in common. They had a common purpose. Right? They were working together. We didn't see that they were split. There was divisions that came after. We have to get to that point, brethren, if we are to have the type of impact that we should have. They turned the world upside down at the time. Are we turning the world upside down now? How many people know about our faith right here in Trinidad? Forget about the rest of the world. How many people know about the faith that we represent right here in Trinidad? How many people really know about it? Who is proclaiming it? You see? So this is what we are speaking about. We have to take stock of ourselves, and we have to realize, brethren, that we are not fulfilling our calling as much as we should. There's a lot of work that could be done. There's a lot more that we need to do in order for this to be accomplished. And I am saying that one of the simplest ways that we could do this on a small level and then it will grow is we have to take heed to the lives that we are living. It is not just simply going to people and saying, look now, the Sabbath is on Saturday, it's not on Sunday. Or look now, the Father's name is Yahweh and not Lord or God. We can do that. But beyond that, people must see. Okay, this person just doesn't have knowledge, but they must look at us and say, see that person? That is a person of integrity. How we carry about ourselves, how we treat people. There are a lot of religious people and they don't have love. They don't treat people well. because they feel, well, I am holy and you are not. And so they look down on people. We cannot be like that. Cannot be like that. So, you know, there are many things that we have to consider in this faith, brethren. The scripture is very simple, and yet at the same time, it is not simple. That's the best way I could say it. It is very simple. The message is very simple, but applying the message is not so simple as we think. There's a lot of work that has to go in to this. But brethren, I think this is what Yahweh wants us to do. He wants us to touch the lives of people. And we could make a big difference in people's lives. But if we approach it with the right attitude and the right frame of mind, we have to practice the love of the Messiah, brethren. We have to practice the love of the Messiah. As we said last week, who are we serving? Are we following, in many cases, the bad examples of men? Or are we following the consistent, good example, perfect example of Yahshua, the Messiah? He never wavered in what he did. And so, make no mistake, if we follow Yahshua's teachings and his words, we will not go wrong at all. At all. I could guarantee us that. I have that faith. If we follow the example of Yahshua, we will not go wrong. Because Yahshua was completely under the control of Yahweh's Spirit. He did nothing amiss. Everything that he did was in line with the will of Yahweh. Brethren, we must understand that the world has been deceived, has been misled for a very long time. This is something that we also have to remember as we walk this walk. The world that we live in has been deceived, not today, not 10 years ago, not 100 years ago, not 1,000 years ago, but from the time Satan got Eve and Adam to eat of that fruit that Yahweh told them not to eat, the world has been deceived, or started being deceived, from that point to now. And over time, the deception got worse, and it is going to get worse, leading up to the return of Yahshua. So it's like a web of confusion. You think it's easy for a person to come out of that? Think about a person who was born a certain way. Whatever beliefs you have, you were born knowing what you know. Right? Think about somebody who was born in a tribe, in a country that probably we have never heard about. You have men living all over the world. Right? And they may not be living as we are living. Their practices may not be as ours, because they don't know what we know. They know what they know. And so, they would do the strangest things. Right? But that's what they know. How are they going to come out of that? Think about it. How are they going to come out of that? Just like that? They're just going to wake up one morning and say, hey. No, it's not so simple. And so, we have to truly give thanks to Yahweh that we were given an opportunity to accept this truth. That Yahweh put it in our hearts to consider the truth and to accept it. It didn't happen by chance. We were given a golden opportunity. And if this is so, brethren, then don't we want others to get the same opportunity? Don't we want others to know what we know? So, brethren, let us practice the love of the Messiah. Let us witness the truth that we know, but do it with love Do it with compassion. Do it with mercy. Just as Yahweh showed us mercy when we were in sin, let us also extend that mercy to others. Tradition, brethren, is one of the hardest thing to break. Traditions is like shackles. Traditions, you're born into something, that is what you know, and most probably all variables left to themselves, a human being is not going to leave what they know. They will practice that until they die. That is natural. So the process of someone coming into our knowledge of the truth is not so simple as we think. It is an amazing thing. Right? So again I say, let us point people. Let us guide them. That is what we have to do. Not try to force them, but by the lives we live and by how we treat them and interact with them, let us show them the love of Yahweh and point them in the right direction. Have a positive influence on them. And apart from that, brethren, Yahweh will do the rest according to His will. Okay, so let's have two more scriptures here. First, let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah 50, Isaiah 50, and we want to read verse 4 and 5. I think this scripture brings out the point about, you know, having the knowledge, but being able to use it for the right purpose. Isaiah 50 and verse 4. Says, the sovereign Yahweh has given me the tongue of those taught. So we should be a knowledgeable people. Right? We should not be a people who are in ignorance. We should be a knowledgeable people. As we were looking at a movie during the week, and we were saying, but look at the type of knowledge that Yahweh has given to man. You know, to build all sorts of things. Man could do all kind of things that we take for granted. As simple as going in the grocery and you pick up a product and you go home and you use it. But do we ever think about how that product got to that point for us to get it? Somebody had to get an idea. They had to build a machine. And that in itself is amazing. And then all the other things that go together with that. And then we just go and we purchase the finished product. And we give no thought to all the work that went into achieving that finished product. So man has knowledge of all sorts of things. And yet Yahweh says, the wisdom of the world is foolishness with Yahweh. So that a man could have a PhD and he cannot understand the message of the scripture. Think about it. A PhD. So that means he has a high intelligence. Eh? He's not a foolish man. He's a smart man. For him to understand a surgeon, how to operate on the body and how to do this. That is not a simple thing. You try to do it and you'll kill somebody. Right? So you must know what you're doing. Right? That is a man to be respected. And many times they have all that knowledge, but they cannot understand the simple message of the scripture. And a man might be, you know, farmer, the lowest of occupations, nobody really. But he understands this. Well, Yahweh says, that is the wise man. That is the real wise man. The man that really has wisdom. The wisdom that really matters. So we ought to be a knowledgeable people, brethren. The sovereign Yahweh has given me the thought of the tongue of those taught, so that I may know how to answer. the tired one or the weary one with the right word. Always have a ready answer concerning the hope that is within us. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen like the taught ones. So brethren, the Spirit of Yahweh is still there. And if we allow it to direct us in the right way, we will not go contrary. We will not go wrong. I had a conversation the past week here, and I was speaking to a young sister, and she was saying that, you know, she's going through a lot of challenges, right? A lot of voices whispering, trying to pull her here, trying to pull her there, and everywhere. And they were saying to her that, you know, the conversation was, we don't need to tithe anymore. That's what they were telling her. We don't need to tithe. Forget about that. We're not, that was under the old law. So I was asking her, well, and she was frustrated. So I was asking her, well, didn't Abraham tithe to Melchizedek? Didn't Jacob vow to Yahweh and say, you know, if you guide me and protect me and take care of me, I will return unto you a tenth of all. I say, well, either one of them under the Levitical priesthood? She said, no. I say, so then why would it tithe in? Then I say, and then the scripture say that Joshua is a priest forever after the order of the same Melchizedek that Abraham tithed onto. So then if that priesthood is functioning now, so then why are we teaching that we are not supposed to tithe? What is going on? So you see, and I hope that, you know, what I told her was able to convince her of the truth. But I'm saying this, brethren, that the knowledge that we have could make a big difference. This is why we have to be grounded. Because we may be placed in situations like this where we will have to come to someone's rescue. Bring them out of our situation where somebody is trying to persuade them otherwise. And we have many examples of that in the scripture. Paul had to contend with that many times. Right? Where they were saying, well, what he was teaching is false, and they were putting doubts in the mind of the brethren. So the influence is not only on those outside the faith, but we are also to have a positive influence on each other too. Within the faith, we have to build up each other, right? And this is why there should not be any in-house fighting amongst the body. The body, as we said last week, was or is fashioned, each body part was made to fulfill one purpose. Okay, each body part was made to function within the one body so that the body could fulfill its role. Right? Every body part is important, and everything must work together. And that is what Paul was trying to illustrate when he spoke about the body has many members, but one body is one body, but many members, but all have the same purpose. But many of us not getting it at this point, brethren. Many of us don't see it. We don't grasp that. And we are letting other things, you know, divert us and pull us here and pull us there. And we're doing all sorts of things that upsetting the work or the function of the body. We have to pray about these things, brethren. But again, I appeal to us as we bring, you know, this message to a close with the reading of this last scripture here, 1 Corinthians 9, 1 Corinthians 9. Let us be a positive influence. Let us walk in wisdom, because we never know how we may be called to do something. We never know how we may impact someone around us. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 19. We'll read down to verse 23. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19 to 23. The Apostle Paul here is speaking. He says, "For though I am free from all people, I have made myself the servant to all, so that I may gain as many people as possible. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to gain Jews. To those under law, I became as under law, though I myself am not under law, in order to gain those under the law. To those without law, I became as without law, although I am not without law towards Elohim, but under law towards Messiah, in order to gain those without law. To the weak I became weak, in order to gain the weak. I have become all things to people of all sorts, so that I might by all possible means save some. But I do all things for the sake of the good news, in order to share it with others." See the mindset that Paul had? That is the mindset that we must have. Freely you received, freely give. We were given an opportunity for life. We must share it with others so that they also will have that same opportunity. So brethren, please, let us understand our calling and let us practice it in the proper way. And Yahweh will bless us if we do this. And we will be more successful. We will have more impact on people if we do it in this manner. So may Yahweh bless us. Shalom.